Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conley.
We do this a lot at the 7:30 service. Just as we begin the service, I just invite folks to just take a nice deep breath. Take a nice deep breath. And think about what is it you're thinking about today? Right now. What are you thinking about? As for the past week, we've been overwhelmed. If you paid any attention to news or the internet or looking back on this year, 2016, that has just passed. Been a lot of challenging and negative comments. A lot of people saying, thank goodness it's over. We're ready for something new. Ready for something hopeful. In fact, some of the things that, you know, I reflected on and looked at, those pictures that we saw all over of the refugees. And so many of them leaving. And so many of them heartbreaking. And the violence throughout our cities in America and the division that we saw this year that was still so strong and hard to see. There was Orlando and Nice, Haiti, Nepal, Aleppo. And then so much also written about the very difficult and hurtful election season. But there are some other things to look at as we look at 2016 also. You know, it was another very difficult political event that became a smash hit on Broadway this year. The play Hamilton, celebrated by so many. There was Simone Biles and Usain Bolt and Michael Phelps that we smiled and cheered for. Did you know that the giant panda is no longer on the endangered species list? Isn't that great? I mean, you wonder, when that was brought, can we do something? Can we do something? It's not on the list anymore, which is wonderful. Low unemployment here in the United States. Lowest it's been since the beginning of the recession. And here's another one. Did you know that the ozone hole that we've been hearing about forever shrank a little bit this year? So in the midst of hearing all these stories of pain and challenge, there are stories of hope also. And I'm not just being jello and pudding here as I mention that, but I'm challenging each one of us on this New Year's Day as we move forward to walk with hope. Hope that God offers and gives to each one of us. This song that we turn to today is a song of praise. A song of praise after the people of Israel have been delivered. So hear these words of hope and celebration on this New Year's Day as we look to today and we look to tomorrow. The psalm says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of the melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. And this is God's beautiful, celebratory, joyous word to us this day. Every year is like 2016, really. You can make a list of every year since the very beginning. All those awesome and beautiful things that happen, and all the difficult and painful things that happen. But God reminds us in this psalm and in our lives and in every day of three beautiful things that we celebrate from this song of joy. That there is deliverance from sin, there's deliverance from death, and there is deliverance from evil. At the fall of humanity, you need to know this and kind of be grounded in this, because it helps you throughout your entire journey when you ask that question, if there's a God, how could this happen? But Scripture in Romans 8:22 tells us from that very point that even at the fall of humanity, that the earth groans. The physical earth groaned at the fall of humanity also, was not set right, was broken. And so even those storms and earthquakes and all of that struggle that we deal with is a part of that fallenness. And so we are reminded that even as the earth is fallen, and even as humanity is fallen, God has a plan. So Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into the slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate." This is Paul writing. Powerful. "Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do not want to do it, it is no longer that I do it, but the sin that dwells within me, that brokenness. So I find it to be the law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law in my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells within me." So Paul asked this question, as we should ask this question, as we struggle back and forth to honor God, to do what would be God honoring, self-honoring, and honoring to others. He writes, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And answers it immediately by writing, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." This is a song of praise, of deliverance for the people of Israel, but it's a song of praise, of deliverance for each one of us also. For God has delivered us from sin through the gift of Jesus Christ. And the more we celebrate that, and the more we lean into that, and Terry knows this well, so I'm not harassing you, because it's not about songs, but right, because you know this, it's about knowing Scripture, it's about knowing God, and when we know God, and we know Scripture, that helps us understand the gift of that deliverance, and begin to live differently each day, a little bit different. He delivers us from sin. He delivers us from death. Many of you know this is one of my favorite passages in Scriptures. Jesus said in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many dwelling places." Jesus is saying, many dwelling places. There's space for you. If it were not so, I would not tell you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Eternal life, eternal relationship. There's a song of praise because God delivers us from sin. There's a song of praise because God delivers us from death. And there's a song of praise because God delivers us from evil. Has anybody ever read through the Book of Lamentations? It's a fun book to read. No, it really is. So, I mean, it is just chapter after chapter after chapter of woe is me, how miserable is life. Oh my gosh, 2016 was the worst year ever. Listing off every kind of horrible thing that ever happened. Oh, where? Oh gosh, oh my goodness. Goes on and on and on. But do you know what? It's a poem. And right at that middle point, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, right in the midst of all the pain and challenge, the darkness and evil attacks, Jeremiah writes, "But the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." New every morning. New day. New year. New every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. Sometimes it feels like we're certainly not in control, or we wonder if God's in control. But lean into the truth that is revealed of a God who is present. And even in the midst of difficulty, you will be able to sing chapter 3, verse 22. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end." So as you prepare, because this is a beginning moment, this is a new day. Each day is a new day, but this is a new year. So we're hit with challenges, right? Does anybody here make New Year's resolutions? I mean, it's okay. You're all like, well, I usually don't, but does anybody make New Year's resolutions? A few of you do. So I read about some New Year's resolutions that are out there, and I guarantee this first one you'll think is from me, but it's not. It says, "I will give up chocolate." Totally. 100%. Honestly. That's what was written. Another one was, "I will do less laundry and use more deodorant." You know, this comes from people's lives, right? So the next one there is, I will always replace the gas nozzle before driving away. That's a good resolution. And this is out there for some of you, because you embarrass your children like I do. "When I hear a funny joke, I will not respond with LOL. And this is a challenge. "I will stop sending my wife emails." Do you get that? "I will stop sending my wife emails." Use her now. It means just talk to her. It's better to have communication that way, right? Right, right, right. "I will try to drive closer to the speed limit." And then here's my favorite. I had to work this out with Michael, so I say this right. "My New Year resolution is 1024 by 968 pixels. Okay, see, they didn't get it. The AV people did. It's like your TV screens. You know, your 1024 by 9, never mind. So, you know, when you think about this new year coming up, go ahead and choose one of those resolutions if you need to. They're kind of silly, but God has something different for us, I think, in becoming a part of the family of God. I read this beautiful story of gift and epiphany, of folklore, about a beggar came up to the king who was playing chess. And he said to the king, I just have one request for you. Could I have one piece of rice that you would give me on the first square on that chessboard? And could you double it then on the second square? Could I have two grains of rice? The third, four, the fourth, eight. The fifth, 16, I'm looking down because I want to make sure I get the math right. By the 10th square, there are 512 grains of rice. So that's kind of a nice gift, right? So the king agrees to this gift. And from that one grain of rice on the first square, how many grains do you think were on the 64th square? I need Rick to come up and read this because it goes into the, it's like, we would say gazillion. But what I can say is it's over 600 trillion pounds of rice on that 64th square. When you move from one grain on the one to the 64th square. The invitation that God has for each one of us is to remember to participate. In a world where we think that there's so much darkness and evil, and what can I do? Remember to be that grain. Because as each one of us joins the body of Christ, as each church comes together, the difference is dynamic. If we truly walk as people that celebrate being delivered from sin, being delivered from death, and being delivered from evil,